com. From the St. George News Radio Weather Center, sunny and 58 today, partly cloudy and 35 overnight. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 61. For St. George News Radio, I'm Carl Lamar.
Remember, if anyone asks, we're a nice, normal talk show. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Something is going on. Some of us see it. Some of us feel it. It's time to expand your thinking. You will need to reset everything you thought you knew about the world, about the people you trust, about history, about yourself. Let me tell you a story. For a very long time, our world has been under the growing influence of a vast transgenerational criminal mafia that was able to rise up to the highest levels of power. We didn't know because they talked and acted just like you and me. We thought we could recognize true criminals by their words and actions, but were deceived by their sophisticated speech, wealth, education, beauty, and power. Through a system of threats, blackmail, and bribery, they would come to occupy the highest levels of power in government, corporations, and education. You may know them as the Deep State or Cabal.
Well, I have to say, everything that was said in that clip was true.
Yeah.
And when you finally realize it, it's daunting. It really is. It's daunting. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. So glad you're joining us. I've got Susan here. How are you, Susan?
Hi, super.
Susan's awesome. So is Melissa. That was the last hour was just like...
mind-blowing.
Yes, and I'm hoping people will soak that in. Wow. The Spanish flu wasn't exactly the Spanish flu. It's just the cover-ups come out so late, and that's what's so hard. It's kind of like Hillary's emails. We won't see them for 75 years when everybody that cares and knows something about the Clintons is dead. So it's sad that we have to wait so long for the acknowledgement of a cover-up. Because there's an awful lot of people out there who, listening to that first clip, won't believe what was said.
That's right.
And then it's, what's even scarier to me is the fact that it'll take a long time, too. Let me put it this way. People won't acknowledge it until the companies like the CDC acknowledge it, which is 100 years later.
Right.
And that's sad because I don't look at the people that are in on stuff to acknowledge themselves very often, and it doesn't happen very often.
Right, to police themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, by the way, get over to the website, katedalyradio.com, Balance of Nature, get that supplement, put in the code KATE, and up your immune system. You're going to want to after that last hour. Get your immune system roaring good, and it's 31 fruits and vegetables every day that they take the air and water out, dehydrate them down, and they're clean vegetables, no pesticides or anything on them, no GMO. And what they do is they take those vegetables, and you're just getting the nutrients. It's really easy to take. Your whole family can take it. It's totally affordable. But the main part of my message is it's necessary. You've got to be taking something. So I don't care what you take something. But if I were you, I'd probably do Balance of Nature because I know how the product's made. I know what's in it. And it's for being so affordable, you almost can't believe that they can do it. For being that affordable. Put in the code KATE and get a third off, and it's really amazing. Balanceofnature.com, but you got to put in the code KATE for listening to the show. By the way, I'm speaking up near Provo, Utah this Saturday night. So I'm just letting you know I'm talking about the proper role of government, how to identify. Really, I wish I had a room full of politicians. Because then we could really talk about where politicians go wrong and in their thinking, you know, and where we go wrong in party lines of thinking and how to identify those kinds of things. So I'll be speaking up there this weekend, this Saturday, and it's on the Kate Daly Show page for details on that. And I'd love to meet you. One thing I just want to make sure everybody knew, the USMCA... in the heat of the impeachment, because of course this is how they do stuff, right? Everybody's talking impeachment, so let's go ahead and hurry that USMCA through. The USMCA hits the Senate tomorrow. You need to contact senators immediately. This is a call out to you. Thank you, hat tip to Mark. Make sure that you're getting a hold of your senator to vote no on this. The USMCA deal, I know one of my own senators was all for it because he's a globalist, Romney, but the USMCA deal, what it does is it constructs a governing body that presides above our constitution because it throws us into a region now with Mexico and Canada. so that the Constitution can't tell Mexico what to do by our laws in Canada. So what it did is it takes a governing body of people that pretty much take away our sovereignty as a nation and stick us in a region. Now, I want you to think about this for 1 second and make this connection, please. Agenda 21, which we've talked about on the show endlessly, okay? And all the mayors are gung-ho and taking it in and doing it. No one's telling them to do it. They're just doing it. And, of course, what happens with Agenda 21? What's the objective? The objective is to not have sovereign cities and sovereign counties and really sovereign states, but a one-size-fits-all region. So you have regions. So what did we do? In my own state, we went into a region, and those regions control the cities now. The cities have very little sovereignty. Sometimes I don't even know why they show up, because the county now kind of calls the shots. Now think about that. If that's the goal of Agenda 21, what do you think the goal of the UN is and the deep state? It's regions, but bigger in countries. Yeah. So this is where we're headed, is regions instead of sovereign countries, just like the EU. I just wanted people to make the connection between Agenda 21 on a smaller scale within our country, and then, of course, the bigger scale would be regions. And this is how the EU became the EU, was they adopted very similar to the USMCA bill. Tell your senator no. Tell him you love America and you wish they would, too.
Absolutely.
I really wish they would love America. It'd be nice.
And this is what the people of Great Britain figured out when they're doing Brexit, because they have a regional EU who calls the shots, and they, you know, go around and interview people, the media in Great Britain, and they say, do you have any say in the EU government? I mean, did you elect those people at the highest level? And they say no. And yet their lives are completely affected by it.
So even when the people say no, they're still making sure it stays in.
That's right.
It's not going anywhere. And believe me, it won't. No. It won't happen. They have locked in that EU, and those countries are screwed. And so if we'd like to be a screwed country, you know, then don't call your senator. If you love your country and want to keep it sovereign, I would tell your senator that we don't need a USMCA treaty with Mexico and Canada. Also, one more thing, the CFR, the Council of Foreign Relations, they are kind of a you know, governing body that dictates what we do. Pretty nefarious what we do. It's kind of like, you know, unelected group calling the shots on foreign affairs. Okay. The CFR, the Globalist Minded Council on Foreign Relations, is urging state and local officials, as well as other leaders, to transform the education system to be more centralized. So claiming that looming changes in the economy and the workplace are going to require workers who are properly educated and trained. Think China, like China. And the effort seeks to reverse engineer every part of the education and workforce training system. This is exactly why they want to take skills tests on your kids, and they want to tell your kids in the first grade what they're going to do for a living.
Yeah.
They want to decide it early, so that you don't have any freedom to decide that. That's the direction we're headed. And just
that was the Soviet system.
Yeah.
The Soviet system was.
It's lovely.
You know, identify you early, and then you have no choice, because it's useful for the state.
It's useful for the state.
It's efficient,
exactly right? You're exactly right.
Well, that's what they believe, but that's not true.
Oh, it's so pathetic, you guys, and sickening all at the same time. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's launch in, because you have to go through this with Kerry, some of the ties, the Iran deal, and what we're looking at now, because there was a reason Trump got us out of the Iran deal, and it wasn't a good deal.
No, absolutely not. And
the media is telling us, though, that how dare he? And this is what led to this. No, the media always gets it wrong. Go ahead.
Right. Well, and it's important to note that the Iran deal was originally construed with money that we said Iran had of theirs, that we had their money.
Right.
Well, it was confiscated for a reason. It was confiscated because they were a terrorist organization as a state-sponsored of terrorism. So Kerry becomes Secretary of State in February of 2013, and he is Obama had not been open to negotiating with Iran up to that point. But then with Rouhani, all these strange articles come out in the news that said Obama has finally found a pen pal in Rouhani, leader of Iran, a pen pal.
And even though they were saying he was a terrorist, they're like, he's a terrorist, except that he's a pretty decent guy, because all of our news outlets are going to interview him.
He was going to go on Charlie Rose.
Right, and
he was
buddies.
Speaking at the CFR.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, and they're buddies. confettis.
They got the red carpet. Yeah. Absolutely. So notice the press did not jump on Obama and say, well, how can you be, you know, pen pals with a terrorist?
Right, right.
Or a terrorist group. So, so yes, he goes to speak at the Council of Foreign Relations. And so all of this is just like opening the door, mm-hmm, right?
Right.
Well, so why did this become so important? So Iran, CNN runs an article that says the nuclear deal is Barack Obama's legacy. And it's going to include $6 to $7 billion in sanction relief. So they were really crushed under U.S. sanctions. Mm-hmm. They were being crushed. Mm-hmm. So now at the point where they could have changed, where we had them right where we wanted them, mm-hmm, Obama is going to relieve their sanctions. Mm-hmm. So release the leverage, right?
Right.
So Kerry, at this point, there's a news article that says 2015, that as part of this ongoing negotiation, that 12.5 tons of enriched uranium leave Iran and are going to Russia. So somehow Obama, mm-hmm, these are now, isn't Russia supposed to be our avowed enemy, right?
Yeah.
But we are allowing 12.5 tons of uranium, uh-huh, to go to Russia.
Yeah.
Now that you can't square that if right. Russia is our avowed.
Is always the boogeyman. And plus, and Iran too, because it's kind of interesting all the deals that have been made with that too, because they can't claim both is what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah.
And so China helped negotiate this deal, Russia, obviously. And all the deal did was extend what was called the breakout time. The breakout time was how long it would take them to get a nuclear weapon. So they never said, OK, we're going to give up our mm-hmm. chase for a nuclear weapon. They just said instead of it being 2 to 3 months away, we're going to make it a year away. It'll just take us more time. And eventually, Obama said that is going to go to zero. They will be able to instantly have a nuclear weapon.
In the years like 13, 14, 15. So down the road, a couple of years later, they will be able to do it instantly. And that's a huge point because people looking at the deal, I don't think really walked away with that point and understanding what that deal meant. And it was just giving them, you know, pretty much what they wanted to. But yeah, it was interesting. And I'm not anyway, this is just more about that deal, this conversation than should we have, should we not have, whatever. We've had that conversation on the air too. But this is about this deal because
right.
the media is parading Obama around as some sort of hero and Trump ruined what he did. That's not what happened. That is not what happened at all. The deal was not good. And your libertarian authors will also tell you this, too, that are very, very critical of this administration will also tell you that it was probably a good move to get out of it. But that's not what you're going to hear in the press. We're going to come right back. More details on this and John Kerry and a lot of different relationships. This will surprise you. Be right back on. This is good stuff. Be right back on The Kate Daly Show. I'm here with Susan. Be right back.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Except it's free in America. We don't have to buy tickets if we just get it all around us. The big show, the big grand illusion. As we dive into this, you're going to see why. And I just have to mention, hat tip to Susan on this. The Washington Post released a headline. What's the title of the headline? That's redundant. What's the headline, Susan?
Hillary Clinton is the most exonerated woman ever. The most exonerated.
I'm sorry, I just threw up in my mouth. If you ever had a doubt, a single solitary doubt, that they were completely bought and sold and told what to say by the Pentagon, there's your proof. There's your proof. You should never wonder anymore with a headline like that. And what did they go on to say about Trump?
Oh, and Trump, by contrast, was not exonerated by Mueller.
And the fake Russia scam that Hillary did.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Are they setting her up for office or what?
It's just unbelievable.
Gosh. It just wouldn't surprise me if she jumped in the ring. But most exonerated I wonder how much she had to pay to get that headline. Exonerated politician. One of the biggest criminals of the United States, to tell you the truth. Many are unnamed, but she's the most visible, one of the more visible ones.
Oh, yes, the most exonerated politician ever.
Okay,
But if we went down a list of her alleged...
Not to mention the 89 and 91 deaths around her. Okay, well, now you know our world is screwed up. If you ever had any... Yeah, I know. You probably thought if you ever saw that headline, it would be on The Onion or it would be like part of the Simpsons future cast show, you know, whatever they're going to do in the future. No, that's real. That's now. So let's go ahead with John Kerry and the Iran deal, because the media is telling everybody the Iran deal that all this is leading from getting out of that, and they're just haranguing Trump for this. And actually, Trump should have gotten out of it.
Yeah.
It was not a good deal. And there were a lot of relationships going on behind the scenes.
Yeah. There was a lot of money changing hands. A lot of people made a lot of money off that deal. But most people either forget or just don't know that John Kerry's daughter is actually married to an Iranian national. And he's a physician. But it was interesting that when they got married in 2016, that his best man at the ceremony was the son of Mohammad Zarif, Iranian's Minister of Foreign Affairs.
Okay.
So the ties to the government are even in marriage. This is almost like what the monarchs used to do in Europe.
Well,
used to marry each other's kids off.
I was talking about Governor Newsom in California and Pelosi and all these four families and how they kept marrying each other's kids. And it's like the uncle and the family friend and all these ties that they create within these families, these like mafia-esque type families.
Yeah, these dynasties of power that nobody else can infiltrate because they keep their... The gatekeepers that keep everybody out.
Who did Chelsea Clinton marry? I'm trying to think.
His father was in prison.
Yeah, and I total globalist, but I'm trying to think who it is. Anyway, I don't want to get sidetracked. So let's go to John Kerry and some of the... So, as he was acting as a shadow Secretary of State when Clinton was in.
Right. And so there was a pre-marriage party right before the wedding of John Kerry's daughter to this Iranian national. And it was hosted by George Soros, which I guess isn't a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
But what became more of a surprise was last summer, August 2019, that George Soros and the Koch brothers connected up to create their own foundation. Now, the Koch brothers, everybody says, oh, far right. Well, they're really libertarian, allegedly. And then you have George Soros. How in the world and why would those two people connect up? Well, it involves Iran, funny enough. And they created a foreign policy think tank called the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft.
Oh my God.
I know.
Witchcraft? Oh no, statecraft.
Statecraft.
Okay.
Almost like
very,
witchcraft.
Very, very similar.
Yes. They said the foreign policy community in Washington is succumbed to intellectual lethargy and dysfunction, and they want to advocate a new foreign policy centered on diplomatic engagement and military restraint.
Right.
Okay. All right. That sounds nice. But then it turns out that who did they kind of hire on is a person of Iranian background who is a pro-Iranian of government, the current government, not a new government, and it had questionable ties. And so all of a sudden you're like, well, why is an Iranian involved? Mm-hmm. And who is this? It says... Well, here's the quote. They quote John Quincy Adams. We go not abroad in search of monsters to destroy. We're the friends of all
nations.
We're
the monsters.
Yes.
Sorry.
And the allies of none. You know, we're not looking for monsters. We're the monsters.
Well, and I want to make an assertion here, too. Number one, I said New York Times. I meant Washington Post. New York Times is bought and sold, too, by the way, though. I just want to correct myself. The other thing I wanted to assert, too, is whenever we're talking on the show, for anyone new coming to this show, I don't ever demonize an entire country because there's no way you could do that. I know Iranians. I have met Iranians in my past, and I have not come to that conclusion. When we're talking about government, the governments that run these countries, the governments that are in charge. And I think that's a really, I think we always need to make that clear distinction between the two. Because when we're talking about these inner relationships between, like, say, Carrie's daughter, and then you have somebody from the government that works with inside the government, he might be a physician too, but he's working with inside the government too, that we're talking about the liaisons between governments that are doing all this bidding, not necessarily the people.
No.
So just to clarify, because I feel like I need to clarify that a lot, because yeah. People can assume that I just demonize, you know, these countries of whole entire peoples, and that's not true, ever.
No, and in fact, the people are actually the victims of these technocrats that create all these backroom deals.
And I hope that they look at us the same and stop demonizing us as an entire people, because what our government does in our name is not always our fault. We don't always know what they're doing, and we don't sanction what they're doing.
Right.
So just with that being said, okay.
So it says they assembled a motley crew. Trita Parisi, a lobbyist with questionable links to the Iranian regime. Uh-huh. And so now, obviously, John Kerry would be part of helping to create, and his input would be part of this. So this is...
Right. So he's going around, he's acting, he's making deals, he's meeting with all these people on the down low. He's acting like a shadow secretary before he was, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. He was pretty much a shadow secretary under Hillary Clinton. He was going around. And in fact, one of the people he was visiting was the Sultan of Oman. His name is pretty cute. Qaboos. It's Qubboos. Mm-hmm. And ironically, he just died this week at age 79.
Without any reason, though.
I didn't notice the reason, but he has been the longest serving leader mm-hmm. in the Middle East. And surprisingly, his son died not too long ago mm-hmm. and was murdered in front of the big department store in London. So they say there's a lot of knife crime in London. His son was murdered he dies. But now Kerry went around, met with the Sultan of Qaboos. So this was 2011 before he was put in as Secretary mm-hmm. of State. And it's very interesting, too, people might forget, that Kerry led the Senate committee for the investigation of Iran-Contra.
That is interesting. I had forgotten about that. I had forgotten about that. And we should have asked Oliver North about that, by the way.
Yeah. And there was a lot of interviews that went on about the banking and financing relative to that. And then those interviews, many, many, many interviews, the information disappeared. And people speculated, does Kerry still have that information? Is there some kind mm-hmm. of financial leverage based on some of the illegal banking mm-hmm. and monetary exchanges that went on during that?
Right. Let's take a caller fast. Hi, caller. Go right ahead.
Hello.
Hi. Go right ahead.
I don't know if you were, the whole thing with Iran, I mean, is that the fact that Iran, at one point in time, before all the sanctions, was exporting close to $200 billion a year in oil. They don't do that now because of the sanctions. That's what these guys are all looking at, is the amount of money mm-hmm. they would be assisting the Iranians in getting and then be able to get their hands in there to control it. I mean, at one point in time, Iran was the jewel of the Middle East in the sense that it was more cosmopolitan than Israel mm-hmm. or Lebanon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and that whole country went backwards when the Shah was overthrown.
Uh-huh.
And yes,
right.
there were people who were being oppressed and everything else. But at the same time, there is a huge amount of oil resources that the whole group of powerful individuals want to get their hands on.
Absolutely. 100%. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
It's undeniable. Mm-hmm. And I think it was Dr. Pachinik who mentioned the fact that half the population is under 30.
Right.
Now, they want to be part of the modern world. They do not want to be under the conditioning and control of the mullahs and this backward, oppressive, terror-sponsoring nation.
Mm-hmm.
And so all the efforts and energy looks like it's moving towards revolution, and now they're calling for the mullahs to step down, like end the regime of the mullahs, especially due to this plane crash. right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And we don't know how many Iranian scientists were on this.
No,
plane
we
crash.
Don't.
We don't. I mean, there's some information coming out.
Yes.
Soon.
Yes.
That'll explore that because there's, you know what? Isn't that sad now that when a plane crashes like that, I'm always looking at the passenger list.
Right.
In fact, the other plane that crashed right before this one, I was actually going over the passenger list.
Yeah. Well,
see
I know.
We're on there. And there were some big, huge military people on there. Ukrainian military. It was kind of strange. But anyway, go ahead.
No, so the Kachas, mm-hmm. they say that they want to end this endless wars, but so many people make money through the weapons, this military-industrial complex that we've been hearing about since mm-hmm. Eisenhower, that JFK said was just... We had to put a stop to it, and then he was assassinated shortly after that. And then they just moved ahead with the Vietnam War, et cetera, et cetera. So if the world does become peaceful, who is going to buy all the nuclear submarines?
You have to have conflict.
You have to have conflicts to justify it.
Yes.
And
there's so many deals going on and so many backroom deals. And then the Soros and the Koch brothers got together, which is a very weird thing because that's far left, far right.
Yes. And that is the Quincy Institute, again, for responsible statecraft. So they put that fancy name on it they wanted to be responsible, but in their image of what that means. And mm-hmm. so undoubtedly, there is no way that the military, the weapons manufacturers worldwide are going to step back. There's so much money to be made. And even people who have... the movie Lord of War, which I haven't watched. I watched a few minutes of it. Mm-hmm. Nicolas Cage made me sick.
Right.
But that was based on a true person who was a weapons trafficker, and he was brought down by an activist, actually. But she said it's almost impossible to get governments to cooperate. They pretend to cooperate, but bribes are changing hand, monies are changing hand.
There's so much money. I mean, really, it's at the root of so much going on that we don't think we have made that real connection in America yet.
No.
And that we have to have constant conflict. Otherwise, what's the point?
Yes.
So why do you think we're always in constant conflict?
That's right. It is really no surprise. Mm-hmm. It's actually rewarding to some people. And so when Soleimani was taken out, mm-hmm. He was at the center. He was like master of mayhem in mm-hmm. Yemen, in Hezbollah, to the mm-hmm. Palestinian area, towards Israel, Syria. Yeah. Iraq,
I've heard
Afghanistan.
That. And then I've heard on the flip side, he fought ISIS too, but he fought ISIS for the interests of Iran. So there's like several different things with him, like backstories.
Okay.
And not the media version. No, their version's glossy. No, I'm talking about, we'll come back.
Balance of Nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I have to say, taking the Balance of Nature, I have no wrinkles on my face. I have a full set of hair. I'm just happy with health, and your product is definitely a part of it. I think it's a wonderful add-on. I mean, I like the science. You know, just everything about it is rock solid. You know, I'm really sold on the product. I love it. And Balance of Nature, when I first saw the commercial, I instantly liked it. I knew I had to have it.
Don't wait to see what getting over 10 servings of whole fruits and vegetables every day can do for you. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order of fruits and veggies. Start your journey to better health today by calling 1-800-246-8751 or by going to balanceofnature.com and make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code KATE.
Why not call Red River
3? 1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Back. I got Susan with me, and we're going over some of the backdoor dealings, relationships that were formed, and the reason that Kerry so badly wanted Trump to stay in that Iran deal that he and Obama conjured up. There was a lot of dealings going on, and there was a lot more reasons, and I think we have to understand that as a populace about why the money was sent, the cash, over to Iran. But go ahead, because it's so tangled.
It's a very tangled web, and a lot has been going on for a long time. So leaders have basically three offerings that they can do, three things they can do when there's a conflict. They can do diplomacy, they can do war, or they can use what's called the hidden hand, which is they use proxies so that they have deniability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so,
one step removed, too.
That's right. And so we have things like Operation... Operation Zero Footprint. Operation Zero Footprint was giving the weapons to Benghazi. That's what Benghazi was all about, mm-hmm. was the transfer of these weapons.
Thought that sounded familiar.
Yes. And Mike Morrell was the fixer. But when all of that was happening, John Kerry was playing a role, too. And so we have Soleimani, who was a proxy for the United mm-hmm. States. We had the Soleimani's Quds force. There was an attack at the port of Tripoli. So not Benghazi per se, but it was all part of the takeover of Libya. And so this whole Operation Zero Footprint, which was related to Hillary Clinton, again, the most exonerated politician.
Goes back to weapons like we talked about last week.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. And but here's the thing. General Petraeus was in when Benghazi went down. Mm-hmm. And so then he became a liability because then he was going to find out all the stuff going on. Mm-hmm. So they had to get rid of him. And so they had that honeypot, mm-hmm. Paula Broadwell, lover saw some documents, whatever. No, that was just to get him out of there. And so they put in Mike Morrell, and Mike Morrell knew all this stuff was going on. And so Mike Morrell's job at that point was to provide cover for the background operation of Zero Footprint, where Obama, Clinton, Panetta provided covert weapons, including shoulder-fired missiles to Libyan rebels, a.k.a. Al-Qaeda, mm-hmm. in Libya. And then the second role for Morrell was to cover for the extended CIA operation, which was 2011-2012. This is when John Kerry would have been the shadow secretary of state, where the CIA was buying back those missiles and mm-hmm. shipping them into Syria for use of overthrowing the Assad regime. Mm-hmm. So the second operation was based at this time out of the secret facility in Benghazi. So now you can see why Kerry would have been all in and mixed mm-hmm. into this. And you remember that when the whole Benghazi thing went down, that Hillary Clinton went home. Like 6 mm-hmm. o'clock, mm-hmm. she punched the clock and went home. And they said, well, where were you? What was going on? You can't find out anything about that,
sure.
right?
Sure.
But John Kerry, he was acting as the shadow secretary of state. So,
and all the chaos. And when I said that Soleimani was fighting ISIS, he's fighting conjured up ISIS, CIA paid for ISIS, because he had the best interests of Iran, right, at heart, or Iran and Iraq, and doesn't want them cashing in on his oil, right, on their reserves. And so that doesn't make somebody a hero. That makes somebody vested interest in what they're there to protect. And he was there to protect them. Well, that gets in the way. If you need, like I said before, and over the summertime, foreignpolicy.com came out and said, we think there's going to be a resurgence of ISIS. Like all of a sudden, like, oh, yep, we're pretty sure of it. Well, you can't have a resurgence of ISIS and a reason for us to be in the Middle East if ISIS has been put out to pasture, but with the help, Trump's not feeding it, Russia's getting rid of it, and Soleimani's fighting up against it. You have to have ISIS prevail in order to create this kind of chaos, to create the need for weapons.
Yes.
Right?
Underneath it all is the flow of money, the flow mm-hmm. of cash, power, the weapons. You can't credit, say, a drug cartel boss for taking out another mm-hmm. cartel. You can't call that other cartel boss a hero. He was right. taking it out for his own interests.
Yes.
And right? So his own corrupt interests.
Right. And so that's where it gets kind of interesting. If you looked at it from a deep state perspective, take out the guy that's standing in our way, because we still have to foment all this stuff going on, because we're really running out of reasons to be there. Like
right.
there really isn't a huge amount of reasons.
No. And that when this report came out, what, a month ago, mm-hmm. talking about did we really do any good in Afghanistan? Was it a waste? And they're interviewing right. veterans, and the veterans say it wasn't worth being there because all we were doing was guarding poppy fields, some of them.
Colonel McGregor came out and said that on the Tucker Show and the other night. I was like, yes, he came out and he said, we're protecting heroin, people. Wake up. I love him. He's been on our show, too. And I'm just like, I got to get him back.
Yeah. And so obviously people who grow heroin, people who protect heroin and the powers that be that protect that whole system know that people will die due to the heroin.
Right. Right.
They don't care.
Yeah.
So the human sacrifice is not of consideration.
It doesn't matter.
It really doesn't. And so, that's why the weapons trade is really at the core issue of all of this. People say, oh, it's the sex trade or sex trafficking. It's really the large amount of money that goes through. Just like when PayPal came out and they said, well, how does PayPal make its money? It takes that little tiny percentage. Well, that's how these weapons guys, all the brokers, make so much money.
And I so agree with you. So
including weapons manufacturers all over the world.
Yeah. Their stock went way up, by the way.
I know.
When that hit took place. And so, okay. So 2016, right? Iran deal? 2016?
2015.
15? Okay. And so 2016. So this is supposed to be Obama's crowning moment, right? And nobody really knows what's in the deal. And the deal isn't explained to people on what the deal really means, because the deal really isn't that favorable. And it's not good. And that's why Trump pulled out of it. But what's interesting, though, is then Trump wins. Kerry goes to Antarctica.
Yeah.
The day of the election.
Flies up there.
Yeah.
What is going on?
What in the world is going on? Because right after that, uranium starts to appear, right? Like they had, didn't they have like uranium shipments right after that?
I'm not sure of the timing on that.
I thought it was right after that. All of a sudden they were explaining, Kerry was in the news explaining that, oh, that terrorists might get all of this funding. I think there was some uranium deals, but that terrorists might use a huge percentage of the money. And the U.S. just didn't know, they couldn't stop it.
Yes.
And it was going to have to go to terrorism,
That's the money
they were giving Iran.
That's right. He just had to admit, because a reporter asked him a question, isn't some of this money obviously going to go to terrorism? He's like, well, yeah, there's a portion that's going to go to terrorism.
And there's just nothing the U.S. can do.
Well, and again, the human life and the human cost of that is not material to them. That is
They don't care. Because they need the chaos. So
they need the chaos. They are literally lords of mayhem.
We gotta find out what's going on. And I swear, any of you get a gold star, you want to give me some stuff on Antarctica. There's some stuff going on in Antarctica, and I'd really like to know what it is. I have some ideas, but it's just interesting that they keep that so hidden and so guarded. There was no reason for Kerry to go there.
No.
And then he disappeared for like a year. The whole first year of Trump's presidency, you didn't hear one thing about him. But he was also meeting with leaders all around the world.
He was meeting with leaders all around the world.
Which is a Logan Act violation.
Yes. Well, and he was telling the Iranians to resist whatever Trump was going to consider. Because I think Trump's idea is, let's make Iran prosperous. Let's make the people of Iran prosperous. Let's really turn that country around. Let's make it prosperous like it was back in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And 60s. Yeah, and you see all those pictures of everyone dressed in cute Western clothes. The women look beautiful, and nobody wants to be where they are today. So the end is in sight. I was playing chess with my granddaughter, and she had a king and like five pawns left. And I said, you're not going to win. And she said, no, I think I can. So like the end was already in sight.
Yeah.
She just couldn't see it. But I think Iran sees it. I know they think this is only a matter of time. So now the latest news is that they said they're going to take President Trump to The Hague for war crimes for killing Soleimani.
Oh my gosh.
They're going to do
after all the drones they dropped. Wow. That's rich. That's rich. Wow. Okay. This is just getting so convoluted and so crazy. And this, just the backlash of the deep staters that truly want what they want and not getting their way. Because if he really is about deals and allowing them, just like he's been a little bit more with Syria and getting our, some of the troops out and not appeasing Turkey and some of these things that he's been doing, it really does put a thorn in their side. But think about this for just a moment. Obama's right hand, I mean right hand, wouldn't make a move without her, and she was on every single meeting. Is
Valerie
Iranian.
Jarrett.
Okay.
Yes, Valerie Jarrett.
Is Iranian.
Born in Iran
with a lot of links to Iranian government. Okay. I'm not talking about the people of Iran. I'm talking about the government of Iran. And in on every move. Lisa Page, Peter Strzok, both One Iranian, one spent time, both Iranian American.
Lisa Page is half Iranian.
Yeah.
Her mother was an Iranian immigrant. She just tweeted that out.
And so was...
And Peter Strzok lived with his father, his parents, in Iran for three tours of his Iran that his father did.
What about Huma? Was Huma Saudi Arabia? I can't remember. I can't remember. She was one of the two. Anyway, it's kind of interesting that they are sworn enemy. Russia's a sworn enemy, right? Both are boogeymen, except for the fact that we're so entangled with them all the time in doing business. We're so entangled with them within government liaisons, weddings, interpersonal relationships with sons and daughters, sending them to school here. Their leaders send some of their kids to school here. It's kind of amazing, right? But they're still the big boogeyman and they want to nuke us because they're jealous of our freedom. I don't know who believes that anymore. Does anyone on earth believe that anymore? Maybe they do. I don't know.
No, and I think we were just so naive for so long. We just assumed that when our leaders stood in front of microphones and told us we were going to war and it was for a good reason and we had to do it, and if we didn't, it was the end of the world. Now, I don't think people believe that anymore.
I hope they realize why we're in constant battle, why we're in constant military actions that deprive other people of their lives and their lands too, all for this kind of stuff. And I really wish people would see that. It really bothers me that we're not at that point yet, because you know why? It makes us feel boastful about ourselves, that somebody would be jealous of our freedom. Think about that statement. Does it even make sense? It doesn't even make sense. Give me a break.
Yeah.
Just, it frustrates me. Sorry.
No. And so you were asking about Uma Abedin, who was Hillary Clinton's right-hand woman.
Who disappeared after Hillary lost.
Yes. And so she's from Indian descent, but at the age of two, her family moved to Jeddah, Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabia. That's right. Okay.
So this is somebody who had connection to the Saudis. And it's fascinating that... Trump is so scrutinized, and yet these kingdoms, these Eastern, Middle Eastern kingdoms have so many violation of human rights, of women's rights.
And just they turn unbelievable. A blind eye. But we fight all the other wars for human violations.
Yes. Yes. And the politicians feel no qualms about cozying up to the people who are the worst of the human violators, human rights violations.
And so you have different religions. Saudi Arabia is different than Iran. So you always have that conflict.
Sunni and Shia.
And we're chummy with both, but we don't want to acknowledge that. And then you're right about that. We always blame it. I swear if they do one more war about human rights are being violated and all of a sudden their dictator became a madman and is gassing the people, if anyone believes that again, something's wrong with you, because it's been played out so many times. I'm surprised they're not laughing at that storyline now.
Well, yeah. And now we know
Saudi Arabia off the hook.
That's right. And so now we know through Peter Berge and ShadowNet that we have been propagandized in such a huge way.
Always a boogeyman.
Yes. And that he said, if you believe anything on the internet, then you do not understand the game that is being played.
Yeah.
That's his quote. And he is the expert in creating fake news that they used as a black op by the Americans to drive actually the Sunni and Shia together to try and fight their common enemy.
Right.
But he said, we weaponized media. We learned how to do it. And now that's been turned on us through various companies.
Yeah. Sunni, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Shiite.
Yes.
Yeah. And it is. I've asked him to be on the show.
Oh, good.
So hopefully we'll hear from him. I do have the lady running against Nancy Pelosi. She'll be on the show. She's been all over the news. She's coming on the show next week. We have all these guests coming on. A crazy amount of guests starting Friday up until the next Friday. So kind of crazy. But this stuff just, I hope we're finally seeing all these connections and getting a handle on how much Kerry was doing around the globe and how much he continues to do violating the Logan Act.
Right.
And
well, how invested is he? Mm-hmm. He was so invested in the outcome of the Iran deal and the ongoing relationship between Iran and the United States being what it is and maintaining the status quo. And Soleimani was key to this.
Right. Oh, and by the way, I have to finish with Nancy Pelosi announced the managers. You'll never guess who they are on the Trump impeachment, the managers. Nadler and Schiff are her two best buddies. You got Larry, Moe, and Jack. And it's just really interesting. Manny, Moe, and Jack. Very interesting how those three are bedfellows. Also, keep an eye and watch on who, the other people that she hired to be on the committee. Because those are the people they want to escalate within the deep staters, within those people that want certain goals. Just watch. She'll highlight certain people and look at them and their backgrounds, because you'll find that they want to promote those people for a reason.
Absolutely.
Nancy Pelosi's only in there for one. She was installed into government in 1988 for one reason. Be faithful, be fearless. Thank you, Susan.
You bet.
You're awesome. That was awesome. And I'll see you guys tomorrow.